you. Welcome back to the You Netflix podcast here on Post Show Recaps. This is the You Season 4 Part 2 Feedback Show, which I don't know why, but like that's a lot of like numbers and Roman numbers and like things to think about. So I'm really glad that I said that correctly. Where we're going to be featuring your feedback that you sent to us and also creating some of our own. When I say our, who could I possibly be talking about? Oh, I know. It's the wonderful, talented, and goodly Marissa Garza. Marissa, how are you doing this week?
I am doing well, LaTanya. Thank you so much for that introduction. Wonderful. I'm glad to be here to talk about you, part two, feedback. Maybe there's
about
a code.
Me?
Do you think there's like a code in the title of our, like this was a mystery season. Like, so.
Yeah, was that what opened up the cage?
Maybe? Yeah.
Why P2? Why?
Why P2F? PSR. that's how it works. Or it's going to be like the next Survivor challenge. One or the other.
No. I can see Survivor putting someone in a cage and being like, they're gonna run out of food unless you help save
them. There's that one where you have to like build the stick to get out of the cage and then get the key and then bring it. Yeah. So cages are around.
That show. Oh my God. Anyway.
But that's not the show we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about you.
Thank God. We're here to talk about you. And you can hear us talking about you. If you go to postshowrecaps.com/youpodcast. Yes, that is postshowrecaps.com/youpodcast, where you can get a feed that's just me and Marissa and all of the great things
and
that we
you.
Do and say. And you. It's just me, Marissa, and you.
That's not
I'm very excited about this.
About what?
The feed
that has been there for a while?
I've been excited about it for a bit, and now it's just starting to come out.
Oh, that's good. Let the people know.
Yeah, I think everyone should know. So it's been a little time. We talked about season 4 part 2 and a lot of season 4 as a whole. So once again, this is going to be a spoiler filled podcast, but we're going to do what we can and try to focus specifically on season 4 part 2. And then next week for our final show, where we'll have a wonderful guest that we'll announce later, we will be talking about you season 4 as a whole. It's the ultimate wrap-up show.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, it's hard to just isolate you part two in this because so much relates to part one, but we'll do our best.
We'll try. We'll do what we can.
Yeah.
All right. I'm interested in what you all had to say, and I'm thankful that you all reached out to us. All right. We got some feedback in our lovely patron Discord. Thank you all so much for those of you who have stuck by us in terms of writing things on the Discord, sending us little notes about how you've enjoyed the podcast, just basically supporting us in the fantastic and fine way that you do.
Yes, it's been great to hear from everybody. I was like, sorry.
Yeah, I was just like, second it.
The motion has been seconded.
Thank you. Okay, so as always, we have the fantastic, the mythical genius. I don't know what that means. Felipe.
Yeah, he sent in a couple of questions for us.
Yeah, Felipe loves this show. Felipe loves us, which makes us pretty damn cool. And Felipe is pretty freaking cool himself. So first, Felipe says, how would you two queens, that's us, rank the seasons at this juncture? And how does that does the split affect these rankings?
Woo! This is hard because I'll tell you what, Felipe, and everybody else. I did start rewatching from the beginning of season 4, episode 1.
Me too. Me too.
And it is really good. Like from, you know, it's good.
It's so good.
I think it's like many mystery properties, it's always better on a second watch because you can kind of see the clues that were being left for you along the way, which is half the fun. And some of those things I know we'll point out later, but it's tough because if you were to ask me during part one, I would probably rank the season not high at all.
It would be fourth of four.
Yeah. I'm inclined, inclined, oh, I'm inclined to go two, three, four, one.
Okay.
But I think three and four are like, it's like they tied for second.
I understand.
Only because it's hard for me to put the awesomeness is the word in the true sense of the word of being in awe of love in season two and how all of that like came to be. And even though I love like the mockery of suburban life that happens in season three, season two was our first introduction to love, and there would be
Exactly.
no season three without season two. So
Yes.
I think I would go three, two, or two, three, four, one, but it's a tie for second
Okay.
because this season is better than I thought it was on a rewatch.
Yeah.
How about you? What do you got?
I've got some things to say.
Let's
Rewatching
hear
this
them.
show has made me so delighted and so angry all at the same time. Because if this show had been released the way it was written, and the creatives would have been given control as opposed to the suits, then this would probably be my favorite season of this show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's rough.
Yeah, but I still rank it very high. I would say season two, season four, season one, season three.
Oh,
I
interesting.
know, I know. Like
Poor point, poor pro, poor pay.
I just love this type of like genre spinning, discovering parts of yourself that, were seeded earlier in the seasons of this show. I mean, there's that scene where Joe hurts his head and he's talking to himself, but that person was a slightly different Joe than the Joe that we would see normally. And so for the erotomania thing to be thrown in there, and have someone that Penn could actually play off of in terms of Reese, Ed Spieler's like fantastic Reese, who has to come back in season five. Like he just has to. He's so good. And then if you go
Well,
back with the knowledge of like from the beginning of the season, with the knowledge of what happened, and you listen to their conversations, they're so telling and they're so well written.
yeah, it's amazing what stands out to you on a rewatch is of the season specifically.
Yeah, the split definitely affected these rankings because I would be ranking it number two. As it stands, I'm still gonna probably rank it number three. Like I just this really got me this
Didn't
season.
you just say four? Did you? What were your rankings?
It
I
was
thought you put
two.
it up there. Oh, okay. Two,
Oh, okay,
four,
yeah. I didn't realize
one,
that was
three. Two,
final.
four,
Two,
one,
four,
three.
one, three. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I
Oh,
would,
well.
yeah, no, I would stick
Would
with
you lock
that.
that in?
Yeah,
Okay.
I would lock
Why
that in.
one above three? I'm just
I think
curious.
just because there was something about starting this show from like when it actually aired and looking forward to those episodes on a weekly basis that kind of like had you on the edge of your seat. I know a lot of people came, I don't care when people come to shows, like as long as you get there or movies, eventually we can have a conversation. But like I just happened to see a commercial for this as I was watching some like Lifetime, like time destroying movie as I was working. And I was like, wow, I can't believe this is what he's chosen to do after Gossip Girl. This is really cool. And I think it was just the fact that it really set the scene in terms of what we were gonna get out of Joe, who is the most unlikely protagonist in like the history of time next to Dexter. And so season one kind of captured all the kinetic energy that was involved in that, and having to wait a week to find
I
out
get
what was going to
that.
happen really, really played into it really, really
That's
badly.
interesting because my experience was not the weekly part of it, but I could see how that would impact, especially because that in season one, we do get like cliffhanger after cliffhanger at the end of every episode to kind of like keep you interested and keep you going. Definitely season two and season three were written for the binge. Like they really took, you know, the format into consideration, which is why I think it really affected the season.
Yeah, let's just do this now. There is there is an article that you can find on the AV Club that is called Please Stop Splitting Up TV Seasons.
Cosign.
And I recommend that you read this, but I'll read a choice section of it to you. As it struggles to find the optimal approach for the crowded peak TV era, Netflix seems to swivel between entire season drops, Outer Banks, Dahmer, and dividing them up like they did with You and South Korea drama The Glory, the first season of which continues with part two after debuting in December 2022. It's not a stretch to say that this inconsistency, splitting seasons for certain shows and not for others, has caused a splitting headache for fans. Mm-hmm. Netflix has forgotten what made it stand out in the first place. Sure, there are pitfalls to releasing all episodes at the same time in this market. It's difficult to maintain the hype around a binge show for a long period of time compared to the extended attention that comes from airing episodes weekly. Look no further than last year's sleeper hits like Severance and Yellowjackets as proof, or of HBO's great dramas like The Last of Us, Euphoria, and The White Lotus, which all generated conversations and buzz after each outing. Netflix hasn't been able to garner the same momentum, so it's chosen to break up already notable dramas instead, and the effect is not pleasant.
I would agree, especially because these shows are written with a certain timeline, like a certain intensity in mind.
Yes.
And I just feel like, especially when it comes to You, all of the setup was in the first five episodes. And we don't get to see the payoff until the last five episodes. And that's like running up a hill, falling off the cliff, and then having to like start somehow get airlifted to the same intensity where you fell off the cliff to continue climbing. And it's like that's really hard and can require a lot of energy from people. So I think, you know, I think we even said this on our part one recap, is like if you weren't watching in real time, wait and just watch the whole thing.
Wait and binge it. Yeah.
Because you know, the conversation will be there still, but it kind of ruined the momentum for me.
Yeah, it ruined the momentum. And, you know, the thing that really sucks is how this crowds out creative visions. Because, you know, the creators had some very slick challenges. They're adapting IP. Because there are books about this.
There's books, yep.
They initially made a show that was for viewing week to week and brilliantly pivoted and made a show work that was a binge. And then continued to do so for season four as if they thought that that was their edict from Netflix until Netflix decided to drop this hammer and just be like, we're splitting it up. It worked for Stranger Things, so it's got to work for you.
Did it work for Stranger Things? You know, like, I feel like it's in a really precarious, it's in a situation. Because, you know, this show, the creators have talked about how the show is planned for five seasons. Mm-hmm. And if this, for lack of a better term, kneecaps the season, like the show... Because if Netflix goes back and says viewership wasn't great, that's not at the fault of the creators. That's not at the fault of this team. It's a decision that was made out of their control. And I hope that that is taken into consideration. Because as of time of recording, we still don't have any word on if there will be a season five. We know it's planned by the creative team, but has yet to be greenlit by Netflix. So I really just hope that not only did this decision like impact us as viewers, I hope it doesn't impact the show as a whole, because what a great right it would be for someone to just come across this series and watch all episodes all at once and get that whole,
oh my gosh, right?
Like, I mean, you might need to take a break. It is pretty intense, but you know, it would all like ramp up into each other and we could see that whole arc. I just hope it doesn't impact the call that needs to be made.
And it's not at all on the showrunners because they were not told, I'm sure. And the reason I brought up the fact that they had to pivot when they went from Lifetime to Netflix is that this is a team that has proven that they can pivot well.
Right. And I'm sure they would have told them.
Yeah. Then it would have been great and they would have paced it differently. They didn't even give them the opportunity to say, here's input.
And even with the story, I would say a break probably would have worked better in season 3 than it did in season 4 because this was an entirely different setting, different way of storytelling, different genre, everything. Mm-hmm. With season 3, we kind of like, we knew the Joe and Love shtick, for lack of a better term. We just put them in a different setting and Love got more powerful. But this was a total change in tone, change in strategy in terms of storytelling. And so like the viewer wasn't allowed any traction because it was kind of like the rug was pulled out from them after episode 5. It was like, okay, well, like we had these questions. Like, what did we just watch? Like, exactly. Why did we watch that? Yeah, that wasn't like you. And then we watch part 2 and it's like, oh, there's you. Yeah. There's the show you. We know.
Yeah.
You know?
So makes so much more sense.
So yes, the split does affect the rankings.
It does, yeah. Felipe coming in hot. Felipe coming in hot with 3 questions. The second of which is there any satisfying ending to the show other than Joe in prison? For me, there is, but I'd like to hear your takes regardless.
I mean, I guess the only like satisfying ending to the show for me is not going to come as any surprise other than, I mean, I don't know if jail is satisfying because that's a whole other podcast. What is jail?
Yeah, exactly. what is the state? Exactly. How did we get there from the 13th Amendment?
Yeah, exactly. That's another, you can also watch that on Netflix if you're looking for a documentary. Yeah. Watch 13.
Watch 13.
Anywho.
Just random Ava DuVernay plugs.
Plug.
Just everywhere.
I would say if he goes to therapy and does the work. Oh my God,
okay.
But I don't think we're going to get there. Like, you know, like that would be like, that's my dream goal for Joe at the end of the day is that he realizes the effect, like he comes out of this survival mode that he's been in for all of this time that's made him do these horrible things that has, I mean, these are still conscious decisions this man is making, but I don't think he realizes the extent of what he's piled up. And so if he can face what he has done, take responsibility for it, I mean, isn't that what the idealistic state of jail is supposed to make people do?
It is supposed to be a place where you go in order to be redeemed as more spiritual, essentially rehabilitated is the word.
So
I disagree.
That's for me. What about you? Yeah, go for it. What do you got? You
just Joe's got to go.
I mean, that Joe's would also be satisfying. But I would say, like, I would take either. What do you mean gotta go? You think he's gotta die? Here's the thing. If anyone can do it, it's Marianne.
Yes.
And what a great statement the show would make with that. That's what I think.
Like, well, see, that is debatable because there are people who think that, like, revenge fantasies shouldn't necessarily have a place in like pop culture because of what it says about forgiveness.
Sure. But maybe she's not the one pushing the knife in him, or like she has like she knows him enough. That she was able to manipulate the situation enough to get out. And so and she's still around. And I think a satisfying ending would be if a Black woman was in charge of Joe's demise, whatever that be, whether that be turning him in, whether that be you know, his life ending at the hands of Marianne in some way. I think that is what I picked up from this rewatch, is like Marianne knows Joe in a different way that Love knows Joe. Like, yeah. Love and Joe were like a mirror for each other, but Marianne knows how to move around him. And that's something that we haven't seen before. So
we've never seen that before. You're right. I think that's an incredible to point out. Tati Gabrielle did just amazing work with very limited time. She was not in very many episodes, only four, right? I think.
Right.
Of a season of 10. And so, like, she just made her presence known. You felt for her. You were with her. She managed to outthink, like, starving, and fighting her demons with, like, a giant bottle of drugs in front of her. She managed to outthink this monster because she told her daughter that she would be home.
Well, and she did it. That was her motivation, but she also did it by asking for help.
Yes.
She did it because she was able.
And it was women helping other women, and it was
women. Yes, exactly. So wouldn't that be, I mean, I don't know if this is like a satisfying ending would be a woman help women helping women. Like, what if Marianne like builds a coalition of victims or something like that? Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, there are a lot.
There's just, you know, some room to play with that there. And that would be, you know, the show does make a lot of statements about society. And if it's going to end, I think it might end in a statement like that.
That makes sense. All right. Final question, the three. Mm-hmm. Which of the new Taylor Swift songs will be in next season?
Mastermind.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. Oh my god.
Or in a comical way, Bejeweled. Yes. Like, if he was just like, nice.
Uh-huh. I don't trust Joe for a second. I like those. I like those ideas. I also like, I could see Vigilante Shit.
Ooh, also good. Yes. Yeah. Good call.
Because or I've been watching
her. Yes.
Karma.
Ooh. That would be a good song for Marianne.
Exactly.
And then, as would Vigilante Shit. But as I've been watching the TikTok broadcast of the Eras Tour, the staging for
Damn it.
The staging for that song is very Chicago the Musical-esque. Ooh. And I could see it, you know, like we were talking about Marianne building a coalition, it would be like that type of situation where we get like every single person telling something that Joe did to them.
Hopefully through song.
Yeah. The musical.
Yes. The musical. I mean,
Stranger Things have happened.
Stranger Things did happen.
Musical. Yeah.
Stranger Things became a musical at one point during Neverending Story.
Yes. But those are my takes on songs.
Felipe, thank you so much for sticking with us the whole season and for being one of those people who was like, I'm going to binge this whole show.
Yeah, he was in it. He was in it.
So, yeah, we really appreciate you. Another person that we appreciate is Post-Show Recap's own Jessica Sterling. Oh, my gosh. I don't think that enough good things could be said about Jessica Sterling. Like, she's always got different glasses on and lipstick.
But she also like does a lot for Post-Show Recap.
Which is why I don't understand how she always looks great. I'm just like, I would be like Aviator DiCaprio. This for my job.
No, yeah. Big shout out to Jess.
Yeah. Jess, this is a feedback for all of season four. Jess says, this show is exactly what the binge model is made for, and I felt like splitting it up into two sections was a big mistake by Netflix. Part one, pretty bland compared to part two, and it's quite frustrating that most of JJ's social circle didn't even matter. I also found myself really missing Love's maniacal energy and hope that with Joe as Joe, in quotes, next season, we'll get a return to the heyday of seasons two and three.
Yeah, and I, you know, one of the things, so I listened to Pod Crushed Penn's, you know, my friend Penn,
talk about
his
it.
Podcast, and he did talk about how he thinks that season four will be seen in a better light after season five, even though he doesn't know what season five will be. Okay. He just feels like it's one of those seasons that's like a bridge to the payoff, like the whole thing, not just part one, but like the brilliance of season four will come after a resolution. Mm-hmm. So, and hopefully it will have that energy just of a heyday from seasons two and three.
I think it will. I have high hopes. I just hope that I agree. Obviously, big mistake by Netflix to break this show up. I hope they recognize that and still grant the show a season five. Yeah. So that we can see exactly. I mean, I, again, hate it when a creator's vision gets, you know,
yes,
the legs.
And none of this will only give it half the episodes to have a season thing that Amazon is pulling with A League of Their Own for the next season. No. We want the whole season.
We want a full 10 episode season.
Both shows deserve it.
Both shows definitely deserve it. I always miss Love. I feel like Love, like Victoria Pedretti is just a magnetic actress.
Well, and the chemistry between her and Penn Badgley is also something that we haven't seen recreated with really any other character.
Yeah.
And I think it is because they mirror each other very well.
Yes, that's very true. It's important for us to note that on Rotten Tomatoes, this mm-hmm. show is ranked 92%, 74% audience score, I think.
Yep.
But the audience is up 10 points since part two aired.
Yeah, when we first checked in with Rotten Tomatoes in our part one feedback, the critic score was still 92, but the audience score was only 64.
Oh, and so okay.
I thought it was interesting that it went up 10 yeah. points in between, because, you know, that had to be the effect of part two.
It had to be. I feel like I was robbed of so many things with this season being split into two. And then with me being ruined. I'll call it,
yeah,
in terms of the whole Nadia reveal. So I've got a couple gripes, but you know, Netflix, if you have any interest in what we think about, you know, the model and your binge model, please call us up. You can email me at latanya@postshowrecaps.com.
There you go.
So I know I'm excited for something.
What are you excited for?
I'm excited because I didn't have time to listen to the Pod Crush podcast, but I know that you did. And I think I love your recaps maybe more than I would love the podcast. So what
do you want me to recap the podcast, on the podcast about the recap? Do you, which...
Yeah, it's a tree mix.
Yeah, it is a tree mix. Okay, well, I did have an opportunity to listen to the episode of Pod Crush that focused on part two. So the way that they kind of set up this podcast was that they wanted to walk through like all the breadcrumbs that were left and kind of get Penn's reaction and have conversations about that. So one of the things that they talked about was how Reese's monologues, just like you had mentioned earlier, mirror Joe's. So when you're listening to Joe, like he will say, "I love crayons." And Reese will say, "Yes, Crayola is the best." Like they're talking about the same thing, but just in different ways.
You say crayon in the most Midwestern way that it is possible to say crayon. But that's fine.
I mean, I am who I am.
Crayons.
Yeah, crayons.
C-R-A-N-S. Crayons, everyone. Yeah.
What do you want me to say? Crayons?
That's what they're called.
No. 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 Anywho, One of the things they also noticed was that when Reese was, you know, that one time when he was in Joe's apartment for like no reason, like we didn't know how he got there, and he was like, I know how to pick locks because
Yeah.
I lived in a county estate, and we were like, shut up about the county estate thing
Yeah.
or country estate. He was wearing the same outfit as Joe in that instance, which I did not pick up on my first watch, but it did because I had listened to this really stand out on my second watch. So
Yeah.
that was just another way that they were trying to tell us before we told us. This one I did pick up on the first watch. The key to the cage was in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the book.
Oh,
So that
right.
was like, but we had
We may have
known.
discussed
Yeah,
that.
yeah, yeah. In episode 5, there's a moment where Roald is like telling everybody how he thinks that Joe is the Etheridge killer and like goes victim by victim. And so we see this montage of Joe killing people, and we think that it's just like Roald's imagination, but it's like the show telling us
Yeah, that he was
that he was
actually
actually
killing.
killing
Yeah.
people, which I thought was good. There was a conversation that I found interesting, and I'd love to hear your take on it too, Latanya. It was, has Joe like accepted and like merged with this part of him that is represented by Reese, like his lower self,
Right.
or has he given Reese power, succumbed to it, and kind of is like leading his personality from that point instead? Because I think the thing that tells us a lot is what happens with Nadia.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, if they hadn't planned on bringing Ed Spielers back, they could justify it because, or if like he got too booked and busy to come back, like a lot of people on this show end up, they get to say that it's okay because that means Joe has integrated this personality. And the reflection in the window that we saw, means that Joe is able to now change when the altars are like taking up space, like change exactly when the altars are taking control of the body.
Or like you could see it like Joe sees himself as Reese because he saw his reflection in that.
He's Reese in this moment, this whole like thing that he's doing.
Yeah.
Another really cool thing that I saw on the rewatch was when Joe and Kate go on that date. They talk about how they're going to move to a different city and start a charitable program, and Joe's going to buy a library, or not a library,
A
buy a
bookstore.
library, a
Yeah.
bookstore, a rare used bookstore. And all this stuff, and then it actually happens. That's what actually
He
occurs.
manifested
Yeah, it's
it.
wild.
Well, from Penn's perspective, he thinks that Joe has succumbed to Reese, and so
Okay.
I don't know what that means for season 5, but that's what he's telling the people. They also talked a little bit about how the role of the mentor, or yeah, the mentee, I think, in the show evolved and changed. So we've always had like Paco and Ellie to kind of show that Joe ha still has empathy left in him. But by the time we get to Nadia, he uses Nadia for resources
Oh
and
my gosh.
information and then sends her to jail. So the empathy tank has run out on Joe by the time we get to Nadia.
I really like this was something that I knew was coming and it still hurt.
Yeah.
Like I still had my mouth like agape the whole time because I was just like, there's no way. Like someone just tweeted something false. Like there's no way that Joe would actually do this to the mentee. But of course, Joe had put a camera in there to try to, like when he thought still he was trying to catch Reese. And so after checking the camera, knew that Nadia had been there and gotten the key and seen all the things. And so there was really only one way in Joe's mind to handle it. And in his head, I bet that he believes that it's sympathetic because he didn't kill her.
Yeah, he sees himself as the good guy all of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then they talked a little bit about how like the role of each object of Joe's affection. I was going to say like significant other, but that's not what these people were. I mean, I know he was like married to love, but that wasn't what that was. But how Joe and Beck, like Beck was an object to yes. Joe. And then with love was an equal and like a mirror. Like they were like the same person, just in terms of how they were like living their lives. But Marianne is on to him.
Yeah.
And that's scarier for Joe than anything else. Even the vulnerability that he's allowed to show with love and be his true self, because he is being seen himself all of the time by sharing space and living with love. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Kate, one thing that Penn pointed out is that like the Joe and Kate have a friendship that he didn't have with the others. And that might be a variable in the story going forward, because there's a conversation around like, how much did Joe tell Kate?
Right.
And, you know, he doesn't know, but, you know, the writers are going to have to figure that out going forward. Like, what does Kate know? How does she not know? How does she react because of this friendship, as opposed to it being a purely, you know, romantic relationship situation? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're friends. like, you know, we got a very accelerated relationship timeline with these two, which I know is a terrible idea. I guess like they went from being like, Kate just straight up had her hackles up. Like, she was just like, I do not trust you. I do not know where you came from. And I really wish she had just trusted her instincts.
I know.
But then was able to confess something that she found to be her biggest flaw.
Right.
In terms of, you know, getting children murdered, murdering young children with cancer.
Yeah.
And compartmentalizing it. And he didn't run away scared. So I don't know. And he said she's a romantic at heart.
Yeah, I think there's more trust here than there was with others.
Yes.
And it's not
they both have the kill switch on each other. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's interesting. One of the things the podcast also explored was the question of, is there value in turning a blind eye in relationships? Like, how much do you want to know about someone before committing to them? Mm-hmm. Would you dig in their past? Would you judge someone if you knew that they had committed an awful thing like killing children with cancer? Like, how much do you want, like, what plays into that decision?
Are you asking?
I'm just like, that was, if you want to answer, you can. If not, that's fine.
I mean,
that was like a conversation in the podcast.
Yeah, no, okay, that makes sense. I guess like I would like to know a decent amount about someone. And if I found out that they poisoned a bunch of kids, that would probably be a deal breaker. And I get that it's very powerful for Kate that it's not.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is context in terms of like, okay, so you think you killed all these kids with cancer. What did you actually do? Like, can you tell me what you did, when you did it, what you were like, what were the circumstances around your decisions, all of that. And also, like, have you done it more than once? Is this a pattern? You know, like, is this a pattern that you have going on? Because with Joe, his things are definitely a pattern. Like, there is a, you know, a distinct pattern to what he does. With Kate, you know, there was that one incident that we know of, and then she turned her life around.
Yeah, that's true. Until she started dating an absolute psychopath.
Oh, I mean, yes. I mean, that was a decision as well. But I just think it's an interesting question for pondering.
Yeah.
Another,
what else happened?
They talked about whether, because Joe was so inspired by Reese, and Reese's like real Reese, Pence's main goal was to run for mayor. Do we think that Joe is going to run for political office?
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I hope so now.
Yeah, Penn's feedback on this was like, he doesn't know because obviously we don't know, but it makes sense and it's kind of like the next arena for him to play in, for lack of a better term. So
it would be interesting. I don't know what experience he has.
Oh, but I think that's the point.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, it helps when you've already given like what seem like very open interviews about things that happened in your past, and you basically control the internet.
And you have charm and charisma and resources. I mean, like, the guy knows how to get the resources he needs to build a cage no matter where the heck he is. So
the cage. It came back in part two, everybody.
It did.
It was so sparkly and nice at first.
The last thing that was mentioned on this podcast, which I thought was an interesting note that Penn made sure he told us, was that he reminded us that Penn or that Joe has a half brother. Mm-hmm. So what will the role of that person be, especially that he's back in New York? So just
I saw a different YouTube video where people were had like their fan theories about, you know, what happened essentially, and someone asked about his brother and he was just like, oh, you're thinking ahead to season 5 now.
So that was your podcast recap on the Posha Recaps podcast about you.
Recapping you.
Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That brought to you by, I don't know, trauma.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to do some deep dives now.
Ooh.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah, two episodes that really popped out in the PodCrush conversation and I think with people in general were episodes 8 and 9. So I thought we could take some time to kind of talk about what stood out to us about these episodes. Do you agree with the assessment? Do you think that episodes 8 and 9 stand out?
Oh, they definitely do. They're so good.
What was it about episode 8?
Episode 8 was the
Marianne
episode, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I loved episode 8. I just thought that, like, I don't know what it is about people that enables them with the wherewithal to like think on a 5D chess level when they're under such stressful circumstances, but I admire that quality so much. And whenever I hear stories about women who were abducted or, you know, nearly killed and how they managed to get out, I'm always just like, wow, just like, I don't know. Truly. A hero.
Stress can do some great things and not so great things. In this case, it worked in Marianne's favor, I think.
Yeah. So it was that initial, I know this was in episode 7, but that initial look at Marianne in the cage, just like really, really wild, you know, when, she's discovered in the cage, I love the fact that it's Marianne's perspective too. And we get her like telling herself this story about the bird and the fox the entire time.
Do you think she's telling herself the story, or do you think this is a story that she brought back to Juliet?
That's a good question. I hadn't thought about it being the story that she brought back to Juliet, but it would make sense.
Only because we see so many cutaway shots of like her and Juliet while she's telling the story. I thought
that she was just thinking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just something that I was like, are they trying to tell us something different?
Yeah, that makes sense. And seeing like someone win over Joe, like it seems after just season after season that he is un-F-wittable.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see someone else get a win for once.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Marion is the only person he's been with that well, at least at this point, that knew who he was at the start of a season. I mean, love knows, I guess.
Right.
But love is also love. Love is like, ooh, that's cool. Like, ooh, yeah. So, Marion.
I miss our twisted sister.
Marion was able to know who Joe was the whole time and escape from his spell. Of like from the cage, from the spell. And I think that that will come back. I really do hope this wasn't the last we saw from her. I loved creatively the way that they told the story in episode 8 with having even the title card changed. It was an artist rendering, you know, like it was her drawing. It was her telling the story. Mm-hmm. We didn't hear any Joe narration during her, like it was like half of the episode. And that like was the only time while we have had narrated parts by, I think there was like a Beck narration mm-hmm. and like, it wasn't for as long. And we always like, Joe was always interacting in a scene. Okay. This was like the first time I think we saw just and heard just a female's perspective, which was really, really.
Yeah. Cool. I remember what you're talking about with Beck.
And
it eventually like just went away.
Yeah.
But, and this was the first time that we get to be inside of the head of someone who is in the cage.
Exactly. Like we hear from Beck, but it's not when she's in the cage.
Yeah.
So
it's really important. I thought the acting was so good. And I really liked the idea of Marion coming up with this plan with Nadia. And just the two of them working together and like, you know, this like the coalition between the two of them is really what made the difference here. And it's just so nice to see. That's why it's even more terrible what happens to Nadia. Because she figured it out. She was just too smart for her own good and too good for her own good.
Yeah. Do you think Marianne will avenge her?
I hope so.
I'm like making Marianne like the superhero of the situation.
But she is, though.
She is. She like, is.
You have to possess some wild strength mentally, physically, emotionally to get out of the clutches of Joe Goldberg alive and on your own terms. Are you joking?
This is what I'm saying. Like, what if she breaks Nadia out of jail, they team up and they get Joe. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's make it happen. Speaking of women Joe has been with, another episode that really stood out was episode 9. Mm-hmm. I knew about this before, but then forgot about it, but then remembered it. but
I love it when that happens.
Penn Badgley actually directed the sequence. Or directed this episode, which featured the dream sequence of him seeing Beck and Love. Candace couldn't be in this sequence because the actress who plays Candace had a scheduling conflict. Uh-huh. But we did get Gemma in there as well. So we got, you know, a lot of perspectives.
We got Peaches.
We did get Peaches. Yeah, we did get Peaches. So I think that is... I thought it was interesting for him to direct something that like kind of spans the entire show.
Yeah, I watched a YouTube video of him watching this scene.
Oh yeah, what'd you find out?
He was responsible for like the camera work that was the special effect, looked like a special effect anyway, for when Beck has the key and she puts it down her throat.
Yeah,
and then he puts his hand down and like it just, he was like, I was really happy with the way that shot turned out. He pointed out the peaches. Mm-hmm. He also was saying that it was just really great to have both of those actresses back.
Yeah.
And especially with Victoria Pedretti, like that's just such a great meaty scene. You know? And I love the idea of these women haunting the shit out of Joe Goldberg.
Exactly.
I love it.
Maybe it's a coalition in the real world and beyond. I'm like, everybody come back to get him. Like, let's do this.
Get him.
Did anything amazing. Anything else stand out to you from episode 9 and the dream sequence in particular?
I just really, really liked the fact that Love was sitting in the cage with the book that was so heavily marked up by Joe. Just like, well, you really have cracked up now, haven't you?
I love when she's like, yeah, you're going through it.
Yeah. It's so good.
Love, when did you go through it? Like, what do you, like, yeah, how do you exactly know what that means?
Exactly.
Was it when you were at, like, your parents' wellness weekend?
I know. But it's also just the welkin. It's also just fantastic that she's like, oh, you're sad? Good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't get to be sad, Joe. Like, I love it. It's very like Streetcar Named Desire scene having.
Yeah. It's very good.
Really loved it.
So those are our deep dives. I know you had put together some theory fails and theory wins. You want to talk through it?
Our wins and our losses affect us both equally. So here's a top 5 list of the completely failed theories that we at some point spouted on this show. And then maybe we can have a discussion about which was our favorite in both the wins and the fail category.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Number 5, Marianne went back to Paris.
Well, was that a fail? Did she go back to Paris? We don't really know. She could have gone back. Like, that's where she went to go get her daughter.
I'm sure that she did go back to Paris eventually.
Not in that moment on the train.
We thought that she got on the train.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He did not. And maybe she did, and he got her off the train somehow. Number 4, Love was alive the whole time.
We are not the only people that thought this. Like, I think the internet as a whole thought this.
Yes.
But, that's true. But it's because we love Love.
We love Love. That's all.
But yeah, sadly, she was not alive the whole time.
Now, I'm pretty much responsible for these next two. Kate was involved in the killings.
I mean,
I guess technically she was involved in the killings. Because when Gemma died, she helped move that body to the larder.
Yep. I mean, define involved.
Yeah, that's a good point. I love how this is like an interview and you're taking all of your weaknesses and making them into strength. The second, number 2 is Nadia was involved in the Aoife Rich killings.
I know,
but she wasn't really. She didn't murder anyone. Which
I mean,
is what
you could say, I'll just devil's advocate this whole thing. You could say that she assisted by giving Joe resources in the books, and that might have given him ideas for how to do things.
Wow, that's some real proximate causation shit right there.
You're welcome.
Okay. Number 1, Reese Montrose was the actual killer.
The real Reese Montrose.
The real Reese Montrose.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah. I got that. Sorry.
Yeah. Oopsies. That's what I have to say. Oopsie doodle. Theory wins.
Woo-hoo.
Number 5, the cage. We got the cage. We finally saw the cage.
Why do we cheer for the cage?
I don't know.
Like, what is this show doing to us to make us want to cheer for the cage? I
didn't just cheer for it. I serenaded it.
You did. You did. But, like, that's a question I need to, like, sit with for a bit. Like, what does this mean? I'll put it on my list for therapy for next week. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, go ahead. Number 4. Adam didn't really love Lady Phoebe.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He didn't.
I was wrong about this one. I have excellent taste in men, everyone.
This doesn't mean that. Don't do that. This doesn't mean that.
Don't do that.
Grand.
Grand. Don't do that. It's so good. It's such classic Chicago. Okay, number three. Mm-hmm. Marianne didn't make it back to Paris. Only, I mean, eventually she did, but she didn't get
the time we made this call, correct?
Yeah. Number two, Joe was the eat the rich killer.
Yeah. Also, though, like, this is the first time he was branded. It was pretty, like a whole campaign. It was all like a marketing situation.
And you know, it was out of control, too, because we all know for reasons that the British tabloid press, wild.
Yeah, it's weird that there was nothing about that. I mean, we had like the whole little paparazzi thing at the club, and like the lady who was obsessed with Phoebe was, you know, part of that. But like, we didn't get any like the eat the rich killer is at it again,
right?
Or like try any reporters stalking him along the way. That and the closed caption TV thing didn't. That's not what it is. Closed circuit. TV.
Yeah, CCTV.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that none of this, like, man, like, in all of these, I mean, I guess they very could have, well, could have, it's just that they erased them. Like, I know that that's going to be the plot hole, like, you know, what do you do with a hole? You plug it? That's what it's called.
Yeah.
That's going to be the pothole plug for, like, everything. Like, oh, they just erased it.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's very odd.
What's the last
number
one?
Number one is that Reese, or not Reese, but Joe was a Hyde the whole time.
Okay, why do Hydes keep following us from show to show?
I don't know.
It's spoilers for Wednesday. But yes, they just get away from us, Hydes.
Yeah, stop it, Hydes. Oof.
Well, yeah, I mean, we did all right.
Yeah, I think we did pretty good.
Wasn't bad.
Yeah.
We had 5 and 5.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure we had some other things. But sure. You know, all in all, way to go us.
Yeah. Pretty well done us. Is there anything else that you wanted to add specifically about season 4, part 2 of You?
It was better than part 1.
Yes.
It shouldn't have existed in the first place. It should have all been one thing.
Yep.
I've already said this, but that's where I'm ending my commentary on
what I said
today. It'll be exciting to continue the conversation, look at the season as a whole on our next podcast, and then bid it adieu until the next go.
Hopefully season 5. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Well, this has been wonderful, but if you want to continue the wonder and support our work, we have a Patreon. So signing up makes it possible for us to bring you podcasts like this every week. So if you're a fan of me and Marissa and our coverage of You or Wednesday or The Bear or anything else we've done before, please let that be known. You can consider signing up at any level. And when you do, you get some special patron perks like our lively discussion channel on our Discord, where you can let us know what you think about the shows and our pairing and podcasts in general. There are tons of other people there who are also happy to discuss whether or not we're doing our jobs well. And all their likes and dislikes on the patron Discord. So patreon.com/postshowrecap. Support PSR and his podcasters. And don't forget, you can check us out on our own feed. We're at postshowrecaps.com/youpodcast. So plug that into your podcatcher of choice. Leave us the 5-star ratings we deserve. We want.
It has been declared.
Ratings. It hath been declared. We want the ratings. Give us those sweet, sweet ratings. And also send us your feedback. I just found out that I have an email address at Post Show Recap. So you can email it to me, latanya@postshowrecaps.com.
You can also email marissa@postshowrecaps.com as well.
Yes. Email, bitches. So we've got some things to discuss because we never stop talking, do we, Marissa?
We've been talking a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talking. You know, I used to get in trouble for talking. So at least I'm doing something with that skill.
Exactly. I really hope
people are enjoying my talking. So
yes.
Would you like to know what else I'm talking about?
I would love to know. I was going to ask,
Oh,
but
that's so
thank you for
great.
asking first.
Of course. I am talking about Dear Edward with Jason Reed. It is a show on Apple TV Plus. It is wrapping up. And so if you haven't watched it, now's a good time to binge it all before the last episode drops this weekend. Also covering Daisy Jones and the Six of Sarah Ferguson. Vibey show. Love it. It's a lot of fun. If you also were a fan of Behind the Music on VH1, it's a good show for you. I am also helping out with the Ted Lasso podcast here on Poetry Recaps. So if you have feedback for that show, that email address will work for that as well. And then I'm also happy to be joining the Yellow Jackets team here at Poetry Recaps, and we'll be recapping and di diving deep into all of the fan theories with Jessica Sterling every week as that show kicks off this weekend as well. So
Yes.
it has been a busy TV couple of weeks here. And I just thank everyone for listening. If you're interested in anything else that I am working on or talking about or typing about, you can find me on Twitter at Mars Bars, MarzBars, or for the time being on Instagram at It's Me, Marissa G. Latanya, I've done a lot of talking. What are you talking about?
Too many
We're
things.
women talking.
We are women talking, everyone. Give us an Oscar. We're women talking.
What do you got?
I am going insane and doing so while podcasting
Is it in your
about
membrane? Are you insane in the brain?
insane in the brain. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I am talking about Top Chef over with the RHAP folks. That has been really fun. Last week's episode was hilarious. I
Something about
definitely,
crackers. That's all I know.
yeah, something, something, cracker, something. I definitely recommend that you check it out. Haley and Kurt and I are having some fun over there talking about a really interesting season because it's international, but it's like very American in the
Is
way
it
that
like
it's, you know.
Iron Chef meets Top Chef?
Kind
Like,
of.
with the international vibe of Iron Chef, not the format of Iron Chef.
Yeah, but like still the regular format of everything that happens in America, Top Chef.
Yeah.
So,
Interesting.
yeah. So we're talking about that. You can catch me and Mari and Chappelle because we are your connect to Snowfall. It is the sixth and final season of just a ridiculously amazing show. If you like Breaking Bad, if you like The Sopranos, if you like The Wire, I recommend you check out Snowfall. It is all of the episodes, even the most recent season, are available for you on Hulu. We are also your connect to Swarm, which is a brand new podcast that I'm excited to announce right here, where Mari Forth and I are going to be discussing the much talked about new Donald Glover TV show. That Malia Obama is also a writer on.
Look at
So
that.
I know. So if you like well-written genre, a little bit of horror, a little bit of like thriller, if you liked Atlanta, then you will definitely love Swarm, and it is on Amazon Prime. So you can check that out. I have a new Versus. That's going to be debuting, and I can finally say exactly what it is. It's going to be Succession versus Yellow Jackets, people. We are doing it. Josh and I have decided that we have some categories. We're happy to hear from you if you think of any more. We want this to very much be interactive. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm just really looking forward to that podcast. Like, that's going to be my like super fun one every week, I
It's
think.
yeah, definitely eat or bean.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the connection. And then I am working on The Mandalorian, kind of pulling up the rear and doing the feedback show, which I've been really enjoying. The show,
Good. I know
I
you said you had some thoughts.
have a lot of thoughts about The Mandalorian season three. So if you have any questions, please email me at latanya@posturerecaps.com. But yeah, me and DM Philly and Brendan Fitzpatrick are holding it down and having a good time talking about the wars and the stars. I think that's it. in terms of what I'm talking about right now, but the list could only grow. So just stay tuned. If you want to see what I'm tweeting about, which is a lot of what I'm talking about, but also other things, you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks. And if you want to see the adorable picture of my nephew who just turned 4 today as we record this podcast, then you can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222. He is so cute. He's like the cutest child ever, except that he also has a brother who is also the cutest child ever. So
they do that.
They do that. Yeah. All right, Marissa. This has been a treat as usual.
Thank you for me as well.
I cannot wait for us to come back next week with our special guest, Asia.
Woo-woo.
Asia is coming to the podcast, a well-worn U fan who's excited about talking to us about the series and the season as a whole.
All of the U.
All U, all the time. But until then, we appreciate you stopping by. So until next time, and one only time, goodbye, you.